So we're going to wrap up our series today. You know that we're continuing our 2026 theme to live in awe. I hope you realize that every monthly theme fits under to live in awe. So this month we've been talking about to live in awe of his pure love, okay? But I want to ask you before I get started, does anybody have any good news they want to share today? We haven't done that in a few weeks. Right? While you're thinking about it, my ear just went through a mountain. you know how it gets all cloggy? While you're thinking about whether you have a good news to share, I want to share a piece of good news. I found this so amazing. I read this week an article about this grandfather in his 70s. I don't know how old he was exactly, but in his 70s, who really wanted to give a lasting legacy to his grandchildren. And so it occurred to him last year at the beginning of 2025 that he reads through the Bible in a year. And God gave him the idea to read through the Bible every day out loud and record it. And at the end of 2025, he presented his grandkids with MP3s of him reading through the whole Bible. I love that so much. After my father passed, one of the things I treasured was his voice on recording. I can't even explain it. My brother and sister-in-law found a recording months after he passed of when he left a voicemail on their home phone singing happy anniversary to them because it was their anniversary. And so they clipped it and gave it to us. And I treasure it. It's still on my phone. Like I treasure it, you know? So I just thought that was the coolest story. I kind of just, you know, makes my mind go crazy a little bit in a good way. So does anybody else have any good news they want to share today? If not, okay, Raj. Let me turn this on, although you know well how to do it.
I don't know. It's my day off. So, hello.
There
we go. G'day. It's pretty loud. I'm off today. Real quick, just I guess a praise report. I like this stuff from Kylie's Bible study. But this past week, Isaac was actually really, really sick. He had, what was it, flu B? Yeah, so he had flu B and pneumonia. We didn't know it. We were just like, soldier on. He was like, okay, I'm going to go to school. And not with a fever. But he was like getting up and like going, getting ready to go to school and everything. And we took him to the doctor. I know there's medicine involved and all that kind of stuff, but I do feel like God was heavily in this because within 10 hours?
No, I would say 24.
Good. She says 24 hours. I say 10, but whatever. Within 24 hours, he's like back to normal. So no fever, nothing. And it was just like they gave us Tamiflu for it. He took one of those, I think it was. But it was just like, the antibiotic for a pneumonia. But yeah. Like, I haven't seen a recovery like that, even in a teenager, from the flu. So, and the rest of us are fine, just so you know. We're all good. So.
God gave him a booster. Pretty sure. Anybody else want to share any good news? Okay, then I'm going to soldier on, as Roger says. I like that. Okay, so we're going to talk about the last in the series of pure love, but obviously we'll never get to the end of pure love. Yep. In Ephesians it says, I pray that you know the length, the height, the width, and the depth, although we'll never really fully comprehend it. So that's what we're doing today. If you remember, over the month, Ron talked about the overwhelming embracer first, and then I talked about the relentless pursuer, the hound of heaven, if you remember. And then last week, I talked about the patient giver, and today I'm going to talk about to live in awe of pure love as the merciful redeemer, the merciful redeemer. First, we need to understand what mercy is and what redeem means before we talk about this. And I found this 2-minute video of a person who really did a good job of encapsulating what mercy is. So here you go.
What is mercy? The world's definition of mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. But the mercy of God is much more than an act of pardon or the cancellation of punishment. It is more dynamic than the passivity of looking the other way. It is intimate and deeply personal. And so, we ask again, what is mercy? Mercy is love reaching out to misery. Love reaching out to misery. When we need God's mercy, we are miserable. The two go hand in hand. Sometimes it is misery that we have caused ourselves. Sometimes we are the victims of misery someone else has caused. And sometimes our misery is caused by the inexplicable accidents, disasters, and tragedies of life. Just know this. Next time you are miserable, God is reaching out to you. And that reaching out is love reaching out to misery. I have seen human beings bestow astounding mercy on other human beings. How does that happen? Made in the image of God, we are capable of mercy. So imagine how vast and infinite God's mercy must be. God's mercy is bigger than any mistake any of his children can make. Such is the mercy of God. God is the love continuously reaching out to us when we are in misery.
Is that not good? I've heard a lot of definitions of mercy in my life, but I don't know if I've ever heard a better one. Love reaching out to misery. That is so beautiful to me. So that's what mercy is. Mercy is love reaching out to misery. So what does redeem mean? To me, redeem means love that pays a ransom to get back. Love that pays a ransom to get back. Something that already belonged to you. Think about a kidnapping, right? If someone kidnapped one of my grandkids, I would do whatever it took to pay the ransom, to get them back. I would sell my home. I would give up everything to get them back. That's what Jesus, as our merciful Redeemer, was. But in Isaiah 43:1, there's a verse that gets me every time I read it, and especially when I saw it on The Chosen. I think it was the first episode of The Chosen, of the first series, where it says, "But now, O Jacob," this is God talking, "but now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid. I have ransomed you." Some translations say, "I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Remember that season, that first episode in The Chosen, when Jesus says to Mary of Magdala, and everybody else knows her as Lilith, the demon-possessed one. And Jesus says, "Mary of Magdala." And this is a verse that her father used to quote to her when she was a little girl. And he said, "Mary of Magdala, I created you. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." That's what the merciful Redeemer does. Jesus is our merciful Redeemer. I love that in this verse, it talks about the fact that God was the one who created us to begin with, but he also formed us. But then he says, "Do not be afraid, because I've redeemed you. I've ransomed you. I have paid whatever it takes to get you back. Because you belong with me. You are mine. I have called you by name." So I want to look at three different points that shows us that Jesus is our merciful Redeemer today. And I'm not going to be in one passage. I'm going to be all over the place today. So unlike last few weeks. First of all, in Colossians 1, verse 10b through 14. Colossians 1, New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right after Philippians. Okay, Colossians. First point is Jesus forgives us and makes us clean. Paul is writing and he says, all the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. How do we grow? By learning to know God better and better. I love that. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all of his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. And then verse 13 and 14, I wanted to switch over to the International Children's Bible because I love the way they say it. And it's Family Worship Sunday. God made us free from the power of darkness. We don't have to be scared of demons. We don't have to be scared of evil. He made us free from the power of darkness, and he brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The Son paid for our sins, and in him we have forgiveness. You see, God made it clear from the beginning in Genesis to Adam and Eve that if you disobey, sin always leads to death. And some people say, well, then why didn't Adam and Eve die when they sinned? They did. Their innocence died. Shame came into the world. There was no shame before that. A part of them did die. A part of their connection to God and their closeness to God died. But I believe, some people don't, but I believe that when God gave them clothes to wear, skins to wear, I believe an animal died in their stead. I think he said it from the very beginning. That's just what I believe. I believe he's made clear from the beginning that when we sin, there is a death that has to take place. Whether it's mine or someone else's, it takes place. Whatever kind of death it is, physical or symbolic or whatever, right? But to forgive, when it says he's forgiven us, we have forgiveness, that means he paid the debt in full. So I don't have to pay for my debt of sin. Jesus stamped it, woo, paid in full. He took care of it. On the cross, right? He forgives us, but he not only does that, he makes us clean. Oh, so what does God see when he looks at you right now? He sees us as totally forgiven and spotless, perfect. Why? Because we are? No. Because he sees us through the lens of Jesus' sacrifice. He sees us through that. The full debt has been canceled. Clean slate. Dave was right. God is smiling at us. He is. I know that is so hard to get used to in your mind, to reset your mind. I know that. This morning when I was having my personal devotional time, I felt like as I was praying regarding the service today, God gave me one word, confidence. And I was like, well, I like that, you know. And then when we were in pre-service prayer, it's like he filled in all the blanks. And I felt like there are people in the room today who have always been tentative with God. When you're here and we're all opening up the instruments, you're like, yeah, I believe God has forgiven me. Yeah, I believe God is good. I believe that. But then on Monday morning, you wake up and you got to something going on in your house or your car, and you go, ugh, and you kind of waffle. You're tentative in your faith. But you know what? He gave me the word confidence before he gave me the word tentative. So what I know he wants to give someone today is confidence in what he has done. Confidence that it is finished, right? You're part of a class action suit that you didn't even know you were part of. And the settlement was made right there. It's right there. And you don't have to, and the thing is, you didn't have to bring the settlement. God brought the settlement to the accuser. And he goes, look, this is gonna be taken care of right now. We don't need to be tentative. We need to be confident in what Jesus has done. The full debt is over. It's canceled. Stop trying to pay it. Stop trying to make up for your mistakes. Stop trying to make up for someone's mistakes against you. It is finished. Settlement. You got a settlement today. Walk in it. Walk, act like you did. Act like you did. Number two, Jesus frees us from guilt and punishment. In Romans 5, 9 and 10 in the International Children's Bible, it says, we have been made right with God. Oh, if that doesn't create awe in me, I need to reevaluate if I really believe it. Because that, it just blows my mind. We have been made right with God by the blood of Christ's death. So through Christ, we will surely be saved from God's anger. I mean that while we were God's enemies, God made us his friends through the death of his son. Surely now that we are God's friends, God will save us through his son's life. If you still see God as angry, pick up your settlement. He is not angry at you. If you go to him and you ask him to apply the blood of Jesus to whatever way you have missed the mark, he is not angry at you. He is not. He is smiling. You are his delight. Oh, if you're still afraid God is going to strike you, come and pick up your settlement. I don't want you to live tentatively. I want you to live with such confidence in God, not self-confidence. Whew, that waxes and wanes. Some days I wake up and I go, oh, I got this. And other days I'm like, what am I doing? Why did God trust me to live, to take a breath at all? You know, my confidence personally waxes and wanes. But my confidence in God gets stronger. Every day, I feel like I'm going from glory to glory to glory to glory. Here's the thing. Being afraid, do not be afraid, the other verse said, is not the same as fearing God. It's not the same. My fear of God reminds me how big and how powerful and how kind and how loving he is. And it leads me to get closer to him. It draws me in. When I'm afraid of God, I think he's going to scowl at me, or I think he's already scowling at me, or I think he's going to strike me. I'm getting away from that. You see the difference there? It's huge. It's huge. Point number three, Jesus doesn't stop there. He brings us back to close relationship with God. In Galatians 4, 4 through 7 in the International Children's Bible, it says, but when the right time came, God sent his son. His son was born of a woman and lived under the law. God did this so that he could buy freedom for those who were under the law. His purpose was to make us his children. And you are God's children. That is why God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. The Spirit cries out, Father, dear Father, or Abba, Daddy. Verse 7, so now you are not a slave. You are God's child. And God will give you what he promised because you are his child. Whew. Amen. That is good. You might have heard, I know you've heard, if you've listened to me, you've heard there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. So if someone sins against me, I can forgive them and I better forgive them based on what the word tells me, right? But forgiveness does not necessarily mean reconciliation. There needs to be a trust rebuilt in order to establish reconciliation, right? Jesus did both. He did both without us having to establish trust. He said, I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to reconcile you all in one fell swoop. I'm going to reconcile, I'm going to reconnect you with the Father. In fact, this verse says that the only reason God sent his son was so that, verse 5, he could buy freedom for you and I. His purpose was to make us his children. I've been reading this book called Back to the Gospel. I can't tell you who it is because I'm reading like four different books right now. But he starts with this supposition. He says, you know what? In Christian circles, we sometimes start at the wrong starting place. When we want to tell someone about the good news, we start with their sin. He said, maybe we need to start with God's purpose. God loves you so much, he wants you to come close to him. So in order to come close to him, let's get this out of the way. You see how the focal point is not my sin, the focal point is the greatness of God? Oh, I live in awe of that. Why? This is why, verse 6, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your heart, and the Spirit cries out, Dad! Oh, Dad! I love that so much. So now you are not a slave. You are God's child, and God will give you what he promised because you are his child. Oh, Lord Jesus. Anyone who's tentative right now about anything we've talked about, I pray that you would give them that settlement that they need today. That from this day forward, they will never question again whether or not God loves them. They will never again question whether or not you have forgiven them, that you've made them clean, that you have adopted them as your child, and that you call us friends. Let that be settled, Jesus, once and for all. No more waffling. Confidence in who God is. So, mercy is love reaching out to misery. Redeem, love. You see, the root of both of those is love. Love that pays a ransom to get back. Jesus forgives us and makes us clean. Jesus frees us from guilt and punishment. Jesus brings us back to close relationship with God. Don't start yet, ushers, but in a moment I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward and serve you communion. We're going to have family communion. This is why we have communion every week. This is why. I believe it. First of all, Jesus told us to, whenever you come together, remember, take the blood and the bread, right? I think he knew we would need constant reminding. I do. We would need to be reminded that he forgives us and makes us clean. We would need to be reminded that he frees us from guilt and punishment. He knew we would need to be reminded that he not only forgives us, he brings us back to close relationship with God. And I want this summary slide to stay up. I'm going to move over to the piano and sing a little bit while the ushers are serving in a moment. And I want you to meditate on whatever God wants to settle in your heart today, where you need a settlement. Wherever it is up there that you need a settlement, and you stand on it, okay? Ushers, please begin serving.
Brought me from the darkness into glory.
Then he took some bread and he thanked God for it. Take your bread and thank God for it. He broke off some pieces and gave them to the apostles and said, "This bread is my body that I'm giving for you. Eat this to remember me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup of wine and he said, "This wine represents the new agreement from God to his people, from God, through God, for God, to God. It will begin when my blood is poured out for you. Let's drink the juice together." Oh, I hope you have a new appreciation for what communion means. Jesus forgives us and makes us clean. He frees us from guilt and punishment. You don't need to punish yourself. Jesus took the punishment. Jesus brings us back to close relationship with God. Amen. Amen. Well, on Friday, after the email had gone out, God spoke to my heart and told me to do something. So I'm going to do it. As part of Lent, I want to start on Monday nights doing what I'm calling awful March Mondays, but not terrible, full of awe. Awful March Mondays, just from the month of March, meeting here at 7 p.m., going till 8 p.m., and this is what it's going to look like, okay, just to give you the heads up. I will give you a journal prompt, and then I'll tell you to scatter, and I'll play from the keyboard that's out there in the foyer and sing some worship, and you'll have like a passage to read from the Bible, and then three or four questions about that passage, and then we'll come back together and talk about what we gained in our journal time, if you want to. It's all optional, obviously. It's kind of like what we did All In, that I felt like there was such good fruit from that. But it's not about a book. It's just about the Bible and about our connection with God. So if you want to be part of that, starting not tomorrow, a week from tomorrow, all the Mondays in March, make Monday awful. Just make it awful. Okay? Bring your Bible, a journal, a pen, and an open heart. That's all. That's it. Okay? So I would like to... I'd like to have as many of you as possible to be part of that, kind of to consecrate ourselves in preparation for the Easter season. But I understand if you can't, but I would love to have you here if you could come. And I think you would benefit greatly from it. So I wanted to tell you about that, and it'll be in the email this week. So coming up. Next week, we're starting a new theme called The Son. And to live in awe of the Son, and Ron's going to kick it off with a message he's calling His Majesty. I can't wait. It's going to be good. Okay. I want to pray over the offering too. God, I thank you for these faithful, generous, joyful givers. It's just beautiful to me the way they bring their first fruits to you. And I've already heard testimonies of your meeting every need and even going above and beyond, which is what you say in your word. So I pray that you would bless everything that comes in today, whether it comes in a physical check today or cash, or whether it came in electronically through the week. We pray a blessing over all of it, that you will multiply it for your purposes so that we can expand the kingdom of heaven here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So, have some chats, some coffee, some bagels, some puzzles, and have a great week. Love you guys.